Welcome to the Liars Club. This is where we take our guests, we tell them to give us the truth, give us a lie, we figure out which is which. I'm Jessica Wellington.
I'm Felicia Michaels.
And you're about to get lied to.
Today, our special guests are Lee Syatt.
Hello.
From the Church of What's Happening Now, fellow podcaster.
And we have Emily LaFord, who is the booker at the Comedy Store and fashionista.
Aww. Is that real or is that a lie? We'll never know.
I would say you're pretty fashionista.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, there you go. So we wanted to start off about who's your favorite liar, and you can talk about this in any way that you think should be defined. I'm going to start off by saying my favorite liar in the whole world was my grandmother. And she was the most Christian woman you would ever want to meet. Like, if she came to your house, she wouldn't preach at you, but she would get the TV guy. Remember when you guys were kids, they had the TV guy?
Yes.
And she would underline with a marker all the religious programs, and then she would just quietly put it back. That was my grandmother. Her name was Aura, and she was actually born in a covered wagon. I'm not even kidding, because
oh, wow.
My dad was, like, number 12 in a line of children, so she was quite old when he was born. But my dad was in Vietnam, and I had to stay with my grandmother off and on. And when I was a little kid, there were a lot of men with going around with missing limbs from having been in Vietnam or Korea, but mostly
right.
Vietnam at that time. And I remember asking my grandmother, and it fucked with me for so long, what happened to that man's leg when we were at a park? And my grandmother looked me right in the eye and said, he was climbing a tree and his leg got stuck. Can you imagine how that fucked me up for the rest of my life? I have a brother who has ADHD with a lot of energy. Anytime he would look at a tree, I'd be like, you're going to lose your leg. So that's my favorite
liar. How long
liar.
Did it take for you to find out that she was lying about that?
It was a good solid 4 years. I would say from the age of 6 to 10. And then when I was 10, someone was like, what are you, an idiot? And I was like, grandma.
Can I do like a second one? Like, because it kind of relates to yours. When I was young, my parents took us to Universal Studios in Florida. And we waited in line for Ace Ventura to like come down. And we got autographs and stuff. And he scared my brother, like, he did, like, his whole voice. And, like, 15 years later, we found out, like, we just grew up thinking that, for some reason, Jim Carrey was actually at Universal Studios that day. And then my parent, like, my dad, like, told us, like, oh, yeah, that was just an actor. And, like, looking back, of course it was an actor. But
you really believed that it was Ace Ventura?
Until I think I was in college at some point. Like, I just had it in my head that we met Ace Ventura,
uh-huh.
Jim Carrey. And we had his real autograph, but not the case.
Wow.
So that's what parents are good liars, too.
Parents are
Which
excellent
I guess is
liars.
Kind of a grandma. Grandmas are parents.
Well, she was trying to be kind, but definitely I lie to my kids all the time. Yeah, she didn't want to say.
Like
my father was in a war zone. She didn't want to say, oh, shit, this
true.
Guy lost his leg in a war zone. You know what I mean? She's
right.
like, oh, he climbed a tree and his leg got stuck, you know. That was so stupid.
I thought she was trying to like scare you away from trees.
Oh no, no. Well,
grandma hates trees.
Yeah. Are you hanging out with those fucking trees again?
I know.
I thought about this and I didn't come up with a particular person because I come from a family of liars and the list could go on, really. But my favorite, like you said, type of liar
right.
is just kids. You know all these videos? That you see with kids like have chocolate cake all over their face and they're like, did you get into the cake? No. I promise.
Oh, okay.
And they're like completely honest about it. Did you write on the wall? No. Not at all. I don't know. That's my favorite kind
of
liar.
Well, no, that's fair. That's fair. My son used to do that all the time when he was a little kid. One time, he wouldn't lie per se, but when he was a toddler, he would pretend to be asleep, but you could still feed him cookies, but he would feign sleep. Like, and you'd be like, but you're eating cookies,
See,
you're not
adorable.
Asleep.
See, that's adorable.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's daughter, we were hanging out yesterday, and she, like, just farted really loud. And I was like, did you fart? And she was like, that was Jackson, the dog.
My favorite are salesmen. Like,
yeah?
I was thinking about it today.
Yeah.
Like, any kind. Like, I lived in LA for 7 years, and I don't have a lot of rules with apartments, but one of them is AC, and has to be it either has to be central or has to have one of the window units in every room. And every apartment manager that you call, oh, this is a strong AC. It's the strongest one we sell. It's only one in the living room, but it'll be enough. Like,
right.
Let's say car salesman.
Yes.
Let's just say anything. Like, they pretend they're your best friends.
I'm so sick and tired of cars. I bought my first new car here in L.A., and I've bought other cars, but I hate car salesmen. I hate them. And then the finance people, they want you to buy that extended warranty because they get a cut of that.
Right. Right.
I had to go, and the guy had to do, like, 3 contracts for me because I was like, no, fucking take that off. I don't want it.
I brought my scary looking boyfriend.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be that way. Like, aren't we over the point? Like, don't try to dick over a woman just because they're a woman.
Yeah.
Or a little chubby guy who's not that scary.
Right. Exactly. You specialize in something. So when I come to you because you specialize in that, I'm looking for your expertise and for you to help me out. I shouldn't have to, like, go to college and find out all this shit that you know just to buy a car. You know what I mean? Or
right.
Just doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm. Emily, do you have a favorite type of liar?
Everyone on Tinder and Bumble.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like...
Hey, I'm 5'10". I don't care what you think.
I just feel like 80% of that whole thing is just lying to each other.
Yeah.
Just, like, the filters. I think just Instagram in general.
Yeah.
It's just these people, like, lying about how great their life is, about what they look like, and about, you know, YOLO. I'm like, it just, like, really fucks with me, especially, like, with girls, like, editing their bodies and being, like, this perfect example of what we're supposed to be. And then you see them in real life, and they're just...
Yeah, but
people.
I had this girl stay at my Airbnb, and I'm pretty sure she was a stripper. And she obviously wore, like, and I blame this on filters. Mm-hmm. She wore, like, some kind of foundation makeup all over her body.
So she
sat on my chair in that room, and she left butt prints of her makeup.
Ooh,
what? You can wear
makeup
all over your body?
Yeah. There's, like, a spray. It's amazing.
So, Lee.
Yes.
What is your story?
Okay, do you want one or both of them?
You're going to tell a story, and then Emily, and then it'll go back to you, and then Emily.
Okay.
So whichever one you want to tell first.
Which one do I want to tell first? Okay. They're both about jobs, so I'll tell the younger one first.
To wake up to do it, though.
No, I'm just trying to... I have 8 stories running around in my head, so I was trying to pick.
It's 6 Red Bulls today. I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
See, I didn't think you were asleep. I thought I could see you thinking.
No, everyone always thinks I'm high, and I'm only high like 20% of the time.
Are you high now?
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately. I'd spill the beans on which story is not true. So when I was 16, my first job ever was at CVS. My buddy from high school, the wrestling team, got me the job, and I was excited, because I could actually have real money. I wanted to save up to buy a car. And
What was the first job at the CVS? What was it?
It's just general CVS employee. You do everything. You do the cashier. You do... My least favorite one was facing, where, like, you have to go through the aisles and organize. You bring everything to the front. And the worst one was the supplement section.
Because
there's like 8,000 of them, and you're supposed to go through and like actually put them back in the right place and make it look nice. And I'm not really good at organizing and cleaning, so it wasn't my favorite. But I liked the cashier, and that was fun. But it was like my first real job, and I'm actually trying to talk about this on stage, but when you grow up, or at least by the way I grew up, you thought people would take pride in what they do or, like, try to do a good job and care about it. And working minimum wage jobs, you quickly find out that most people don't care at all. So I was 16 or 15, right around there. Yeah, because I think I was getting it from my car, so I might have been a little younger. But, like, the two guys who ran the photo lab were probably 19 or 20. And they weren't mean bullies, but they just didn't really have a lot to do with me. And it was my first experience was seeing people drink on the job too. They used to take 20 ounces of Coca-Colas, pour half of it out, pour whiskey or something. And I wasn't drinking at the time, so I have no idea. But that blew me away. But the reason why I stopped working at that CVS was one day I was facing the seasonal aisle, like where they have like the Halloween stuff and then it's Valentine's Day. And it was fall. I think it was probably Halloween stuff because there's pumpkins. And one of the photo guys took a knife out on me.
Whoa!
Like, he didn't, like, put it to my neck or anything, but, like, he took it. Like, it, as a 16-year-old, I felt kind of really uncomfortable. And so, like, I got up.
I think any age you would feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, how far away was it from you?
Like, I was kneeling on the ground facing, and he was standing up, and it was just down by his side, but he was. Like, it wasn't like, oh, look at this cool knife. It felt a little bit weird. So I just got up and left. And then my manager called my house, and my mom answered. I didn't tell her. I just went home. And I don't know how, but somehow CVS Corporate found out about it. And this, like, I never am good at this. Like, I never really seize opportunities. But I remember meeting at the library with my mom and two CVS lawyers to tell them this story. And the two photo guys actually got fired. And I actually feel kind of bad about that. But,
well, he did take a knife out on you.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I mean?
He was drinking on the job. He sounds like my dad.
But, oh my God. Maybe it was your, I know. Yeah. But, like, looking back on it, I'm like, maybe I should, like, sue them and gotten some money and I'd be set for life. But, no, I just got transferred to a different CVS. That's all that happened. I kept my job. So that's my first story.
Wow.
Wow. I worked at a Winn-Dixie, and I went to prom with the photo guy.
Did he take a knife out on you?
No, he did not.
as weird as that one was, like, the friends I made at those minimum wage jobs were, like, way better than school friends. Like, I still taught. One of them just came out to visit.
Oh, very cool.
It was, I kind of miss those jobs a little bit, as weird as that sounds.
No, I get it. I liked being a cashier at Winn-Dixie. I did.
Are you serious?
No, I really did. Really?
What did you
I
love really about did. It?
I just had fun. I was good at it. I could, like,
no
check,
stress?
Yeah, I could check people like nobody's fucking business.
Yeah.
I had moved up the ranks just in high school up to front end manager, so I could send Western Unions.
Okay. Now the real truth comes out.
I could do money orders. You know, the important shit. And I don't know. Yeah, it was just fun. It was less stress, like you said. And you just had a good time, really.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. And Emily, what's your story?
All right, let me set the scene.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. I moved to Los Angeles from the East Coast. I went to school in upstate New York. In my senior year, I met a gentleman who worked at the pizza place with me. I won't call him by his real name because he's a horrible person.
He's in a what?
He's not a great guy.
Yeah.
So graduated college and decided to move to Los Angeles, where he soon followed me. And we dated for about 2 years. And then we broke up. And then I got left in Las Vegas by a group of guys who I thought were my friends. And I didn't have any money in my bank account. I was there with like a bunch. It was like at a comedy festival. So I was there with a bunch of comedians. And everyone already left, go back to LA. I was like legit screwed. And my boss was like, let me buy you a plane ticket home. And I was like, no, you have kids. I don't want to like be a dick. So he drove from Chatsworth, California, Los Angeles,
uh-huh,
to Las Vegas to pick me up.
Your boss did?
My ex-boyfriend.
Oh, your ex-boyfriend.
Oh, the pizzeria guy.
So this pizza guy. So then we went back out for another, like, year and a half. And then, like...
That's all it takes for you to go out
like,
again.
If I was the ex,
that's a long ride. That's, like, what, 6 hours? Yeah.
It was like
is that worth a year and a half of your life, though?
Oh, my God. At least 6 months.
Yeah. Well, he was... I have really bad self-esteem, and he was, like, attractive. He kind of looked like Adrien Grenier a little. Uh-huh. So, like, I was like, this hot guy wants to date me? you know, like, I'm in Los Angeles, like, a hot, not that hot girl, hot guy. Come on, like, I can't get anything better.
You need to quit telling yourself.
This is like, okay, 10 years ago or something. So the year and a half kind of dwindles because he's telling me things like, you know, if you drink lemonade, you'll get fat. He has pictures of, like, Megan Fox everywhere being like, you should look like this. Like, you know,
drink
like
lemonade.
Yeah. Wow. And then he was like working at this job.
Jesus.
And he was like, my boss thinks I'm attractive. I could have sex with her I want. And then he worked at a bakery and he's like, all these girls at my job want to have sex with me. And I was like, I'm done. I can't handle this anymore. And we broke up.
A big guy on the saddle at the bakery.
Yeah. I mean, they had. They
did even
have
send money
really vegan cookies. Yeah.
And by the way, if I worked at a bakery, I would tell people all the time that they're trying to have sex. But everybody wants me. That's what I would do at a bakery.
So, cut to, like, we broke up, and I immediately wanted to, like, cleanse myself from his horribleness. So I started, like, flirting with the IT guy at my job.
IT guy?
Yeah. And then
God
we ended up.
You.
Where did you work at the time?
Another comedy place.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That is in here. So we started, you know, flirting and, like, hanging out and dating. And my ex would still text me every once in a while, like, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, you know, like, cool. And me and this other gentleman started, like, dating. It was kind of, like, really fast just because, you know, I used to hop
rebound
for one relationship. Yeah, but, like, this guy was, like, really cool. Totally opposite. It was, like, you're beautiful. You're cool. Like, I could drink as much lemonade as my little heart desired, you know? So this new guy and I went to the Grove to see Inglourious Basterds. And he slept over my apartment at the time. I lived on, like, in a duplex. So the second floor, there was a door to the balcony and then a door to my room.
Right.
So my bed was, like, in the corner. There's the door was like right there.
Okay.
So it was like 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and I hear someone knocking at my balcony door, which is usually my roommate at the time because she always forget her keys. And I'd be like, "Oh, fucking bitch, forgot her keys again." It wasn't like a weird occurrence to me. I was like,
"Okay,
oh, must be her."
Yeah.
So like I'm in, let's not say a lot of clothing. Right. New gentleman in bed next to me, and I open the door and it's my ex.
Oh.
And he's holding a Tiffany's bag.
Oh, you gotta invite him in.
And then I'm like,
it's another 18 months.
And I was like, oh, he must have brought over all the shit I left at his, you know, his place in Chatsworth.
In a tiny little Tiffany's bag.
He got me a Tiffany's bracelet like a long time ago, and he's like, you know, you can't throw that bag away. It's nice. So he's like, can I come in? And I was like, not the time. And then I was like, cool, is that my, like, CDs and, like, socks and hair ties? And he's like, no, it's a diamond ring from Tiffany's.
Holy
and I was like,
shit.
Huh, huh, huh. And then you guys literally where you are, like, pretending to be asleep. And I'm like, no, that's not the time. This isn't the time. Please, please go home. How did you get in here?
Right.
And then he was like, I had a dream the other night. You know, and I was like, oh God. And he's like waxing poetic. And he was like, in the end of the dream, I, you know, realized if I lost you, I would lose everything. Ugh. And I was like, you need to leave right now, please get out. And he's like, why? And then he pushes open the door, sees a new guy and just starts at 6 a.m. in the morning in like a crowded apartment building, like cussing me out, calling me like a whore, calling me like some horrible bitch.
Oh, wow.
Saying that I had his Ferragamo shoes in my car and he needed to get his
Ferragamo.
Ferragamo's like a really high-end designer.
Bakery
then,
pays well.
Yeah, bakery. Bakery paid pretty good. And then basically woke up the entire apartment complex. I brought him into the garage and gave him his shoes. And then 2 days later I found out he cheated on me the entire time since he moved to New York.
Oh my God.
So I got proposed to ish. Almost
right.
Proposed to.
Uh-huh.
And then immediately found out it was.
Did you get the ring?
He gave. I didn't want to see it. I was like, please, you know, go away.
Right.
Please don't ever talk to me again.
Wow. Wow. Two very strong starts.
Do you guys guess?
No,
we just go to the next story.
We're going to go to the next story. But these are interesting.
Yeah.
Stories. I could see if someone put a knife to Lee, I could see Lee just quietly getting up and leaving the scene. I could totally see
just
Lee doing
his
it.
Eyes.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's how it all started.
Pretty much.
But then
I can't see it. It's not there.
I believe Emily, but I have questions.
Yes.
How was he able to buy a ring from Tiffany's?
He worked at an art gallery.
Oh, so this is...
He worked at an art gallery and a bakery.
Oh, he worked at an art gallery. Pretty thin there, Emily. Pretty thin.
Oh, I don't want to use people's real names.
Does his family come from money or something?
No, he lived in... his mom was an artist in Woodstock, and his dad wasn't his life.
So he made enough money to buy you a Tiffany's bracelet earlier on.
Yeah.
And a Tiffany's ring.
Well, the bracelet was like...
a bakery and an art gallery salary.
Well, the bracelet was before... It was like one... He lived in New York and I lived in L.A. And he like,
lived
I
in
missed
New York,
you.
Okay.
But we also worked at a pizza place that paid a lot of money under the table.
Oh, really?
Like a lot.
Yeah.
I missed that job so much.
From tips?
Oh, yeah. I could bring in on a busy night, like, $300 in tips for like a tiny mom and pop pizza place.
That's like stripper money.
I just had really big boobs and I'd wear two bras and yoga pants.
Okay.
And I was like 21 and I looked adorable. But yeah, so he was really good with his money though. So he worked at this art gallery like 4 days a week and in the bakery the rest of the time.
Right. Well, at least that's one relationship he's good at is with his money.
So interesting. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next story, Lee.
Right. Okay. So my next story, is my first job when I moved to LA. I was 21, one of those. And my first job that I got was from a buddy, and it was a personal assistant to an actor.
Uh-huh.
And
can you tell us the actor?
No, he actually in the last year has passed away. He was in a couple big movies, but by the time that I started working for him, the way he made his living was going around to all of those
Comic Cons and stuff.
Not even Comic Cons. Like they were just like they have events where old celebrities will come in and sign. It's not even like for comics or it's not like superhero related.
Right.
It's just they go and they sign on pictures and they buy it. Like either they'll get paid to be there or they'll sign or they'll sell the pictures with the autographs. Uh-huh. And he had some medical issues. So I had to do a lot for him. Like I had to carry his luggage. I had to help him out at the hotels. And like it was my first real introduction to that. Like celebrities can be a little bit demanding in weird ways. Like he had plenty of money, but for some reason, like I had to check his bag under my name. Like I it was just weird.
Tax purposes.
Maybe he's trying to like keep all the cash or whatever it was. But I had to. When we get to the airport, it wasn't like, oh, I'd put it under his name in case he loses. It would just all be under my name. And one time we went to Atlantis to do one of those events.
Wait, Atlantis is a real place?
Yeah, in the Bahamas. Isn't it? Is that
yeah,
the name
like
of it?
It's like a resort.
Yeah.
Atlantis Resort.
Okay.
In the Bahamas.
No, they found Atlantis since... Since we started the podcast, Atlantis was
now you're like, I know this one's a lie because he used a mythical place. No, it's real. I hope so. I don't know where I was.
So
we were there.
To Atlantis,
and it's in the Bahamas.
Right.
And on the way out, as I was going to get on the plane, Bahamian police came and got me. Like, as I was boarding the plane.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't met Joey yet or any of that, so I didn't really smoke weed or do anything,
Uh-oh.
And I was freaked out. So they get me into this room and they leave me there for a couple hours. Like they keep coming in and asking me questions, and finally this guy comes in, and he's like, "So tell me about the gun." And I was like, "I don't own a gun. I don't know what you're talking about." So they bring in the actor's piece of luggage, open it up, and inside this bag, and mind you, though I kind of skipped a little bit, the actor left, like he had to get to another event, so he flew off and left me in the Bahamas. He had bought a antique gun and left it in his bag and didn't declare it or put it in like a gun case at all. So that's kind of illegal to try to bring a gun onto a plane. And needless to say, until they could figure things out, they had to put me in Bahamian airport jail, which was not fun. And I was able to call my parents and tell them what was going on. And they called the actor, and the actor's manager was working with a lawyer to help me. But then at the end of the day, it's not like a big airport. They're not open all the day. So they brought me to like real Bahamian jail. And I was there for 2 days in like an open cell area, like a
general location. You had to poop in front of other guys?
Yeah, it was not fun.
That's my worst nightmare right
there. It was
pooping in front of guys?
Other people.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. Like, it wasn't like New York City jail or anything like that. Like, it was just like a couple drunk guys, and there was only like two or three other people there. So it wasn't as bad as I had seen in the movies.
Did they give you a little privacy when you needed to poop?
Not really. I mean, it's as much as you get. They just turn around a little bit.
What did they feed you in the Bahamian jail?
Just a lot of like weird sandwiches. Like a couple pieces of bread, some meat, some water. Yeah. Not much.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. And at the end of that, the manager finally like was able to call, and I am currently banned from going to the Bahamas. I probably can't go there, but at least I got out.
Oh,
so
wow.
After like, it was like a Friday, and then on that Monday they were able to get a hold of a judge or something. I don't even really know how I got out. I just know that
they confiscated
the gun, and I didn't work for that guy anymore. Needless to say, as soon as I got back to LA, I was like, I'm gonna look for another job now, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Shouldn't be going to jail for you.
He didn't try and reimburse you or.
Oh, no. He gave me a little bit of a bonus and stuff. He was nice about it, but.
What is a 20% tip on being jailed?
I think it was like $500 or something. It wasn't a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Really?
Oh, I mean, it's not bad, but it was, it's,
considering you can never go to another country, a specific country, ever again.
Not that I mean, I don't know how, I've never been to the Bahamas before, and I don't think I'm going to go again. I can't go again, so, but it's, yeah, it's just weird. It was definitely one of the scariest experiences.
Well, those are two strong stories, Lee. That's going to be good.
You just took the exact opposite to make it hard for us, didn't you? You're like, I just did a story about a gun. Okay, now I'll do one about a knife.
I didn't realize that. They were both weapon related. Okay.
There you go. All right. And what about yours, Emily?
So I went to Performing Arts High School. I always
performing
did
Arts
performing
High School?
Performing when I was a child. All my schools were like art based. And this is about a little tiny, teeny tiny Emily. So when I was like in fourth grade, I went to Mariel Pottinger Elementary School, and we were like the cool elementary school in Springfield, Massachusetts. And all the cool artsy kids went there, and you know, it was like really just, it was hip and fun, and we were the chosen children's choir of the city of Springfield. So anytime there was a big event, like the president came, we sang for Clinton. You know, anytime there was like a big hockey game, we'd go down on the ice and be like, Springfield. And
what was your big number when you guys would sing? What was the big song?
Well, our biggest event was the big balloon parade, which has happened the day after Thanksgiving. So it was like our version of the Macy's Day Parade.
Uh-huh.
And our big number, because Dr. Seuss is from Springfield, was we sang the Fa Hu Four is Da Hoot from The Grinch.
Uh-huh.
So that was like our whole shaboob. So 1 year.
Shaboob.
We got to sing that with Judy Collins.
What? Judy Collins.
So Judy Collins, the Judy Collins. Did that with us, and then she loved us so much, she invited us to be her accompanying choir at the Springfield Symphony Orchestra for her concert. And only 15 kids get to get picked. out of the whole choir.
Oh.
How many kids were in the choir?
Like 40 of us, 30. Oh. It was whatever a school bus holds, like a normal size school bus.
Right.
So it was like out for blood. Like all my best friends, were, you know, in middle elementary school, were growing up, were in it. We're like, you know, like, I'm getting in, and you're getting in, and we like sang our little hearts out. I am the worst singer. I don't know how I got in this choir, regardless, but somehow, little Miss Emily LaFord was one of the 15.
Can you give us a little taste?
Like I only remember the Fahu Four song, to be completely. I think my college years have erased just everything. But so we did rehearsals like till 7 o'clock at night. When you're like in fourth grade is like a huge deal. That's like way after dinner. That's like sets cutting into serious homework time. So we rehearsed like every day for like 2 to 3 weeks because it was a Christmas concert. And 2 days before the concert, someone was dicking around outside on an icy sidewalk when mom said, don't dick around on an icy sidewalk, and fell and sprained her ankle.
Oh. That was you?
That was little Miss Emily Louise.
No, it was Judy Collins.
Yeah. And I took her job.
Judy Collins is like, sorry, singer. Kids.
They gave me like a teeny tiny like Judy Collins curly wig and threw like a black chiffon gown on me. No, but so I... sprained my little ankle, and instead of replacing me, they just stuck me on the side of the stage like a loser who just did all the hand movements while her friends danced. Another little sad little sprained ankle. And it was the worst experience of my life because you've never been so close to victory and having to watch all your friends succeed at something and you're just like in the corner kind of doing it,
right,
but not really.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
That's worse than having your ex-boyfriend show up when you're naked.
I mean,
a Tiffany engagement ring.
I mean, he did have a ring.
He did have a ring.
That's true.
Okay. And it's kind of like more. I mean, to have like the new guy you're really like excited about,
right,
see you at like have like the worst situation ever. Where you're like, I've been dating this girl for like 3 months, and she's this psycho ex. But yeah, that was my
wow,
broke my heart, and then all my friends became super successful people now. And,
so are you.
I blame Judy Collins for they have like houses and kids. I mean, I guess I'm successful, but they have like nice cars.
You just got a new car.
I did get a 2017 Ford Fiesta.
Yes,
you
did.
You got a what?
Ford Fiesta.
Oh, nice. Some really solid stories, like to bring out someone called you a whore while holding a Tiffany bag, or your victory of almost being next to Judy Collins. I mean, that's a hard...
JC,
oh, she was there, though, according to the story. She was just doing the hand movements.
I was just on the
side. No,
line.
I know.
Yeah.
You were on the side of the stage. You didn't get to stand up and be glorious in your moment with her and your friends.
Broke my fourth grade heart.
Yeah.
I did get a cool sweatshirt that my mom still has, I think.
What does it say? What does it look like?
Just like it says Judy Collins on it. With the tour dates.
I sang with Judy Collins and all I got was this sweatshirt.
I didn't even get to sing with Judy Collins and I got this sweatshirt.
Wow. So what do you think? What do you think?
This
what are your
tough.
Thoughts? I know this one's a tough one.
This is really tough. You guys don't have a lot of tells, it seems like. You kept it pretty cool.
I was really
stories.
Nervous about this because I feel like I don't have a poker face. So I thought like immediately you guys would be like, oh, this one's the lie.
I think the 3 Red Bulls I had kind of made it easy.
Really?
I'm like, I'm just like this all the time.
I'm leaning toward your knife story being false.
Okay.
Because you said you started at CVS at 15.
Right.
Well, knowing that I worked for Winn-Dixie. And
oh, shit. Winn-Dixie knowledge.
You need to be 16 to be able to work.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Should I answer or do you want
to
make
your
guess?
Well, I'm going to guess. I could totally see you starting out in some terrible job with a old performer and having to do all that. I could see you doing that because when you first get into show business, right, and you'll – so I could see that part of the story being true. But
right.
Then the you part. Said that you and your mom had to go meet 2 CVS executives where?
At the library, at the Goodnow Library. We rented a conference room because they like the – headquarters of CVS is in Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
So they met us close to my house. the same library where I went as a 6-year-old.
Right. So I'm going to say the Bahamas one is a lie.
The Bahamas is a lie?
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys think differently. You guys have different opinions.
Yeah, we usually do.
Okay. So should I, can I answer now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, as a young enterprising Jew, you can get a work permit at 14. Oh! So
maybe where you're from, buddy.
I was working at, I had a work permit when I was 15.
Oh yeah. Oh. So the CVS story with the knife is true. The and here's where I kind of got you a little bit. The Bahamas one is true, but it happened to my cousin. So because that I was trying all day to like come up with like a fake story, but I was like, this all just sounds fake. So I just stole someone else's story.
Well, you know what kind of clued me in that it might have been fake is that you said, "Oh wait, back up! I have to."
Okay, damn.
So I was like, maybe that was the tell. That's what I was thinking.
Good looking out.
Yeah. All right. Damn. And now Emily.
You go first with Emily.
That's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. I am going to say, because as a child, I broke my ankle in a public place. And so I can understand the feeling of, A, not feeling good, but B, really wanting to do something with your friends that you've earned. Mm-hmm. And the reach back from someone so young to the name Judy Collins. Like, you know what I mean? So, and I don't buy that a baker, even as a works at an art place, can buy 2 pieces of Tiffany jewelry, because I've only gotten 2 pieces of Tiffany jewelry in my life. And it's because I bought them when I was married with my ex-husband's credit card, unbeknownst to him. So I'm going to say the Tiffany is a lie.
Okay. I have never had anything Tiffany. I don't even remember having a friend named Tiffany.
We should go. It's so much fun.
I would go to one.
Oh my
and look
god!
At it.
We should go to the one on Rodeo and get champagne.
Whoa! Yeah. Am I ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay. I also my first day of work in the Air Force. My first duty station in England. The night or the weekend before we started work, I broke my ankle on the way back from the store buying Aftershock. And we broke the bottle of Aftershock as I fell into this hole. And I broke my foot. So I went into work the first day with this broken foot, and it was horrible, and it was cold, and it was England. So, I mean, that's plausible. But I also think that you probably do have a lot of crazy exes. I have this feeling about you. I think that you make men go nutso with your love.
I can see that.
I was going to say love juice, but that sounded horrible.
Love juice.
It's lemonade, which I couldn't even drink around him.
I'm going to say that actually the Tiffany's thing is true, and the Judy Gold or whatever thing was.
Judy Collins.
Young lady. Judy Collins.
Can I admit that I have no idea who Judy Collins is? The whole
What was her big song? What was her big song?
I don't even remember. I just remember it being like a big deal.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
No.
All right. So, Emily.
The Tiffany story is 100% true.
Yeah!
You always get them right.
The other one, Judy Collins did perform at the Springfield Symphony Hall. I just went with my family.
How was your ankle?
And I've never broken a bone in my entire life.
Oh, my goodness.
My mom did slip and fall that Christmas when we were getting our Christmas tree and broke her wrist.
Oh, wow.
But... No,
so what made you decide on that lie? What was?
I was just thinking of
so bizarre.
I was just thinking about. I was like, I mean, I did go to Mario Pottinger, and I was in their little adorable kid choir.
Uh huh.
But I just remember.
Yeah, you can't sing.
I can't sing at all. I guess little Emily, little Emily, I could sing voice right. Or something. And Judy Collins did have like like came to the school and picked people, but it was like two people that were actually like talented singers now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All
so
right.
So you had that while we had Ronald McDonald at our school.
You had Ronald McD?
Yeah, he came every year.
Ronnie McD?
The Ronald McDonald. Those were good stories. You know
wow.
what I like about asking people to lie about something is they give you pieces of information, even if it's not
yeah.
true. It's just the idea of how they try to cover all their bases.
It's true.
Yeah, it's
you
very
actually
interesting.
End up revealing more about yourself than you think.
I think so. I really do. It's interesting that way, right?
It is.
And
it
you
really is.
Can't tell us the name of the actor since it was your cousin.
You know what he said? I would. Only if he didn't die this year. So I'll be able. I hate and I feel bad whenever someone does this on a podcast, but I'll tell you guys off air.
But, oh, leave our listeners
he
hanging.
Did, he was a C-list celebrity of like the 2000s. He wasn't that old.
Wow.
Thank you guys for doing the show.
Thanks.
Yes, my Twitter or my Instagram is JessWellington2. Please follow me. Do you guys want to give out your social information and
check us out at the Comedy Store?
Yes.
When you're done going to the shows at the Comedy Store, you should listen to the Church of What's Happening Now podcast. And you can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Lee Syatt, LeeSyatt.
You've been listening to the Liars Club.
You've been lied to. Yeah.